Hola mi gente, welcome back to the Soy Chingona podcast. I am your host, Erica Marie, and I'm so excited to have you listeners back. And had to take a little break in between, not just because of, you know, COVID and stuff made it really hard to record, but also because of where I am in my spiritual healing. Every year I record a podcast right after my birthday. This year was my 38th birthday. This past week, and time for me to catch you guys up on what's been going on. I took a little break from the podcast because there's been lots of life lessons to be learned in my healing journey, and in order to really soak in all these lessons, I had to do something that's really difficult for me to do, which is keeping my mouth shut and sitting back and listening and tuning in. And when I say listening and tuning in, I mean listening to everything, to Creator, the universe, listening to my body and what it's been communicating with me, listening to where my emotions sit in my body. And just paying more attention and refocusing on myself to get re-energized. So I thought that the most important piece recently that I've dealt with that I haven't shared a lot about is my identity piece. My identity piece of the transition that I've gone through on my own expectations of labeling myself as a Latina and transitioning to my new expectations of holding myself and labeling myself as a Chicana and what that means to me. So I wanted to start off this podcast a little different. I wanted to go a little deeper and share a little bit more of me on a different level. I used to, when I was younger, write a lot of poetry. And it's something that has come up so many times in my healing journey is my writing. And I recently realized why it's so hard for me to go back and write again. When I go back and look at all my journals that I have from like junior high, which is sometimes very scary to go back and reflect on, everything that I wrote was ugly, dark, painful, sad, depressing. So I had to do some work to realize that I block myself from writing now because my creative side and my artistic side of writing is connected to pain. And who wants to sit here and sit in their pain? It's a very difficult thing to do, but sometimes you just have to sit with your emotions so you can process and be able to let go so you can make room for the beautiful things, room for the light, room for the joy, the happiness, room for the silly moments in life that we're allowed to have. So I want to start off, and I'm really nervous about this because it's literally, I haven't wrote any poetry in maybe 16 years. So what better platform for me to use than my own podcast to share what I wrote? This was inspired by an amazing Chicana poet locally here who has been so supportive and so amazing sharing her magic with me, and she truly inspired me to get back into poetry. So thank you, Julie. So this poem that I wrote, like I said, about 16-17 years since I sat and wrote anything, just gives you a little insight and sharing a deeper piece of me. This is titled Soy Chicana. The generational traumas I received started with their issues of identity. They yelled and screamed, "This is who we are. so this is who you have to be. We are better because we have lighter skin. We are better because we don't speak with an accent. We are better, so we changed our family name from Maria to Marie. Their identity issues gave me the name of Erica Marie. Familia names of Hernandez, Felix, Santana to Martinez, forcing me to live in your image of a Latina. But I no longer have to yell. I don't have to scream. Because today, I choose to be me. Soy Chicana, and this is my identity. This poem for me starts off with so much confusion and sadness, feeling disconnected from my brown skin. But at the end of this poem, there's so much freedom in really knowing my identity. It's been so much work, just like self-healing. But the more I work through the pain, the more I get to the beautiful, peaceful parts of this life. And that's what's important to me. It took me a while to share that. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that some of you can connect with it. Whew. So, moving on from that, the next thing that I thought was really important story for me to share is something that happened to me right after COVID started. I've experienced a couple of things in recent years dealing with either ex-boyfriends from high school or boys that I had relationships with that maybe I didn't realize how much that relationship in that time meant to them. I was very nonchalant in my younger years about my interactions and dating. And I guess I didn't understand the perception on the other side of that, the other person, and what the relationship could have meant to them. So throughout the years, it's like weird, and I'm sharing this because in hopes that there's some men out there that can maybe listen to this and explain what goes on in their heads in these particular situations. So I've had several guys from high school that will randomly reach out to me on social media and sometimes bring up a memory that they had with me. And like I said, very random. And I've had one guy send me a message one time, literally, that was like, "Hey, I was just thinking about you the other day, popped into my head. And I was just thinking about, man, do you remember when we were 15 and we had that heavy makeout session?" And whether if I remember or not isn't the point of this. I don't understand the reminiscing of one makeout session and 20-something years, you're hitting me up to remind me of this for what? That part I don't know or understand, and it's very uncomfortable. I have guys who maybe, to me, we dated, barely dated in high school a couple weeks, but to them, our relationship meant so much more. So they kind of hit me up wanting to relive those moments that they had with me that meant more to them, way more to them than it meant to me. Sometimes I feel bad that over all these years, I mean, this is 20 years ago since I've graduated high school, that it would still be something that sticks out in their head so much after all this time. So with one particular person that I had some history with, he was a year younger than me, grade-wise. And we were still both in high school. And there was one summer that we actually hung out. Not that much, not that long. Never stayed in contact with him throughout the years. Again, this is over 20 something years ago. And one day I'm sitting at home right after quarantine. It's very new, right, that we're on lockdown. And I got a message from a friend on Facebook. But the friend's picture, there was no picture on the profile picture anymore. And the name was just John Smith. I don't know anyone just by the name of John Smith. So I thought it was a little weird. Actually, it wasn't a message. They commented on an old photo that I had up. And it was something very vague. Something kind of, it was just weird. It threw me off, so I deleted it. The next day, I decided, well, that was pretty weird. I should probably go back and figure out who this person was. Come to discover it was someone that I was friends with and someone that I had history with in high school. And he changed his profile name and his picture wasn't on there anymore. Again, thought it was kind of weird, but didn't think much of it. Later on that day, I received a message from him. And it got nasty really, really quick. Calling me names, telling me that I was a horrible person, that he was considering taking his life soon, and that he would be mentioning my name as one of the people that are responsible for his suicide. I didn't really know how to respond or how to react at first, so I contacted my friend that also knew him. And she was very concerned about his mental health. But the concern was more about his mental health than my safety at the time. Long story short, I wrote him back and apologized. He accused me of coming up with a nickname for him in high school. And I feel like I'm being very vague in this story. So he wrote me and said that I made fun of him in high school after we had sex. And I called him a needle dick. And apparently this nickname stuck with him. And apparently it ruined his life and I ruined his self-confidence. And he could never hold down a relationship all these years because of me. In the end, it sounded like he had a lot of woman-hating issues, and it kind of sounded like I got the grunt of it because I was the one that took his virginity. So I had wrote him back, and I had said, hey, I wasn't a shit talker like that, like, in school. Like, I didn't call you that name. However, you felt like I did, and you've lived with this all these years. Like, that's fucked up. I'm sorry. And the messages started becoming more threatening. Then he started telling me I wasn't taking responsibility for who I was and I'm exactly what he expected me to be. And he started talking about my pussy and calling it dirty, smelly Mexican pussy, and that I was fat and ugly, that I got fat since high school and I deserved that. Then he started talking about my current husband. So I blocked him and I didn't respond to any of it. And then I started getting more messages from different accounts. Then it became life-threatening. He told me he knew where I lived, he knew where I worked, that if I kept blocking all his profiles, that the next time I see him would be in person. It was fucking scary. Because it didn't matter what I said to this person. He had already made up his mind on who he thought I was. Mind you, I haven't heard from him since we were in high school. So all these years, all this shit's been building up. He friend requested me maybe 6 years ago. Never thought of anything of it. I didn't have any bad thing towards him. So then it got really scary because then I started thinking, man, if he friend requested me 5-6 years ago, that means for all these years he's been sitting back watching me, watching my life, watching everything I talk about, everything that I post, and just building up this anger. I got scared. I got really fucking scared. One, I had no idea what he was capable of. Two, I wound up getting a hold of his sister. She didn't make me feel any better about the situation. She said as soon as she had kids, she cut him out of her life because he's always been a little crazy. I kind of knew that. I mean, he always talked a little crazy about himself, always really down on himself, really like that sabotage, the self-talk, the hating self-talk, you know, I'm worthless, that kind of stuff. I started thinking about our history. It was very short-lived, but I do remember certain things. I do remember being invited to his house for dinner, and his parents made me feel very uncomfortable. Lots of money, beautiful home in San Carlos, overlooking Lake Murray, nice cars, the image of a beautiful family. But there's some really fucked up shit in that house, really weird things that they made me feel, very off sexual vibes that were very open. Just very uncomfortable. But I was super young, only dated him very shortly, maybe a couple weeks during that summer. And it was triggering. Him saying all these things to me, talking to me the way he did. It's the kind of shit I grew up with. So it brought me back to some dark spaces in my head. And then I started feeling guilty. I started feeling like shit. Like, how many other people are out there in this world thinking that I hurt them this much to the point where they're gonna kill themselves and then blame it on me? And then I just started feeling dirty. That someone that crazy, I allowed to touch me, to be in me, to be a part of me. And I just allowed men to do this all the time. I allowed them to penetrate their toxicity into me. Like I was their dump site. Oh, I went through so many emotions during this time. And then my amiga says to me,
you have to find the lesson in this for you. There's a lesson. Why, after all these years, after all this time, why is he contacting you now? What do you need to learn from this? And I was taken back. I was like, there's something, and I attracted this. I didn't create the behavior. I don't feel responsible. My friends were concerned that if he went and did take his life, that I would feel guilty or responsible. Fuck no. There's very few things in this life that I will ever say that I actually feel guilty about. And even if I did say those things or called him that name, that has nothing to do with me. His mental health is not on me. That was there way before I was a part of his life. A very small part of his life, but obviously it was very big to him. Every time I walked to work, and I live a half a block away from work, I couldn't even walk by myself. I had to tell people in the community because I was so scared. We found out what kind of car he drove. I had a picture of him in his car. I showed people that my community. They made me feel safe. Not the fucking cops. I had to put in a non-emergency report, and that was a fucking joke. Our system is so fucked. It was a verbal threat, and even though it was on a message that I have saved, it wasn't enough to do anything about it. Restraining orders don't do shit. They don't stop that person. So I couldn't even walk to work by myself. My husband walked me. People in the community watched me walk home or would pick me up just so I can go half a block down the street. I was never by myself. I didn't stay at Copalitiera late. I was in full contact with my husband, always telling him what time I was leaving, who I was with. I didn't realize that after all these years, I could be holding all this toxic energy inside me. I didn't know I was worthy of anything that was positive when it came to love, especially loving my own body. I didn't respect my body. I always allowed others to disrespect it and abuse it, take advantage of it. It just didn't know better. So I had to work on that. I had to work on how do I get rid of all this toxic, stagnant energy. And how do I forgive myself for not loving myself enough? How do I forgive all the people I allowed in my space, that I allowed them to take advantage? What do I do with that? So during this time, my other business partner, I hate calling them business partners, there's so much more than that, my familia, my spiritual hermanas, Patricia and Vero told me that I should talk to someone else who's a part of our space, Anissa, and do a yoni steam. I know right now there's been a trendy movement of those and what they represent. I would highly suggest for any woman to Google this shit and look it up, because there's a lot of medical benefits to it. There's a lot of women who are trying to, for hormone reasons, for fertility reasons. But I was doing it for those reasons on top of clearing out the stagnant and toxic energy that has never been cleaned out. This was a huge part of my spiritual growth that I had to cleanse and detox from. During this time, it was the full moon. I was already on a 21-day detox, clean eating, no alcohol, no caffeine, no dairy, no meats, for Reiki training that we were doing for Reiki 1. So all this stuff is already happening to me in my spiritual journey that was, had me very exposed, had me very vulnerable, mentally, emotionally, physically. And Anissa does the consultation with me to ask me what I was doing this for, what's my purpose. And I told her that I grew up with a horrible relationship with myself. And because of that, I allowed so many inside me to abuse me. And I could feel that all that abusive energy, I never let go of it. So it was just brewing inside me. And then I told her about my stalker. And she did an herb blend. So with the yoni steaming, you have herbs and you steep the herbs like you do with the tea, and it creates the steam. And you sit over the steam pot and you put on a skirt or a dress and you make a tent out of it to trap. So it's like a sauna for your vagina. I had to do this for 3 nights in a row. It was the most intimate thing I've ever done with myself, with my body. And every night I could feel the energy shedding inside me and releasing. I'd feel the movement of the energy. And each herb was picked out just for me. Each herb represented something completely different. And it was such a beautiful thing to know that there was a woman that sat there and focused on me and put prayers and infused Reiki and put all this love and compassion and light and freedom into these herbs to help me not just release this shit, but let it go. It was so fucking intense. And after those 3 nights, my body was still shedding so much. And after I did all that, it stopped. He stopped messaging me. Hadn't heard from him since. He stopped making new accounts. I knew in this time he was contacting other people from high school. I started reaching out to people to see people that were close to him at one point and see if he had been in contact. And he contacted a couple people. Some of the guys he contacted, like, hey, I'm about to take my life. I just want you to know that you are a friend to me. Thank you. I knew one other girl he reached out to with the same energy as mine and threatening and saying that she fucked him over and all this stuff. And she was able to get through to him on a different level, and he was a lot nicer to her than he was with me. I feel sorry for him that he has so much hatred towards females and whatever someone did to him in his childhood and his past that he was never able to come out of. In fact, his sister made a comment that he was very stuck, that he talked and responded and acted like a 17-year-old kid, and he was very stuck in that mindset. It wasn't my responsibility, and it's not my problem. And if it ever comes up again, threatening my life, I will not respond so concerned about his mental health. That's just me being completely honest. I never want to be scared for my life like that again, ever. Just the pause in between right now is, you know, I never hold back when I record. I don't even go back and listen to my recordings. I just post them. I don't have regrets. I'm not going to sit here and feel bad about things that I share or what I say. And especially if I say something and 3 months later I come back on and my opinion is different, that is my right as a human being. That just means that I got educated on something and I was able to grow from an experience and shift my narrative or shift my perspective. So I contemplate whether to say his name on here. And I know there's a lot of people that from high school that listen to the podcast. I just felt so violated. For those of you that have been sexually assaulted in any way, that's what it brought me back to. I felt fucking disgusting. The shower that I took that night, the scrubbing. I'm not scared. And I won't ever walk down scared like that in my neighborhood. I know I'm protected. You know, it's not, mental health is a hard one for me because I deal with so many of my own mental health issues on top of my father and my mother and their undiagnosed issues. So, you know, I did sympathize at first with the mental issue part, but after being so scared for my own life and how triggering that was for moments of me being kidnapped when I was a kid, which is another, save that for another time. So men out there listening, when you're thinking about these connections, of reminiscing about when you were young, the shoulda, woulda, coulda's,
Leave that to yourself. Don't be a creep. It's fucking creepy. Don't hit us up and send us messages. Don't send us pictures of something that I wrote in your yearbook when we're fucking 14 years old. I'm not 14-year-old Erica. So, if this ever reaches you, don't ever fuck with me again, Johnny Silva. Or anyone I love. Thank you everyone so much for tuning in to part one of my 38th birthday. Can't wait to put out part two and see what you think about everything else that's happened. Until next time, fist up, chingonas. Hey everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to part two of my reflection of my 38th birthday. I normally don't go back and listen to my recordings, and I had to go back and listen to this one because I shared so much in such a little time, and it was a lot for me to process. It was a lot to go back and listen to. But I wanted to just continue sharing my reflections and take you to some other vulnerable areas of my healing journey, and hoping that there is a bigger let go for me in doing this and sharing it on this level. So the last thing I shared with you was the yoni steam that I did that helped me shed and release so much stagnant, toxic energy that I'd been holding on to in my womb area. And the womb area is also where we, as women, tend to hold our traumas, our childhood traumas. We already go through so much in that area in itself. And soon after I did the yoni steam, I saw a card reader, this incredible woman named Jessica. And she had read my cards. To be honest, I was avoiding her for a while when I first met her. I knew that when I sat down with her that she was going to deliver truth that I wasn't quite ready for, to open up to and deal with. So I was honest with her and I sat down and told her that I had been avoiding her for that reason, but now is the time, so let's do this. So she pulls my cards and she starts pulling cards and does the spread. And then she did something that I had never experienced with a card reader before. She started pulling spreads from different decks, but they were all connecting, and they all connected the dots. So there was a huge thing in there. And she asked me, you know, what my biggest concerns or issues were. And at the time I had told her that I was having a lot of issues with my creativity and like more than a writer's block, which I've experienced that before, but it's not that I couldn't write or couldn't express or couldn't dip into what else I think is my creative side, I was refusing to. I didn't want to. So she asked me who in my childhood had blocked my creative side in my life. And I said, well, my parents. I wasn't allowed to have an imagination. I wasn't allowed to be a child and play and color. And she also asked me what I thought an artist was. And I said, an artist is someone who can draw and can paint and see a vision in their head and create it and put it onto paper, bring it to life. But I also had a huge issue with recognizing myself as a writer, and that a writer is also an artist, and that I'm also visualizing these things in my head and putting them out on paper and creating something with it. But she also helped me realize is that my writing, like I said before, had been so connected to pain that I was avoiding processing the pain so I can get through it and really honor who I am creatively. Part of doing that was going back and healing a lot of those wounds that have been very exposed lately, because that's what this shit does when you're healing, you're doing Reiki, you're doing clean eating, and you're seeing card readers, and you're constantly around energy healers and people who work with energy and work with the traumas and emotions and things that you feel. You're just constantly feeling exposed. Being a owner of Copal y Tierra, I am constantly feeling raw and exposed. All for the greater good, right? So with Jessica, she had suggested for me to do things that honored my child self, do things that made me feel silly or playful. God, my husband's so good at being silly and playful, and I'm so bad at it. I get so annoyed when he's trying to be playful with me, and almost like I've always taken myself way too seriously. So she suggested for me to buy myself a doll and to take this doll and play with her and talk to her and connect with her as I'm connecting with my child within, my little girl Erica. So I found this lady, I can't remember if she's in Texas or New Mexico, that makes hand-stitch Maria ragdolls. And these didn't look like the traditional ones that you see. So I was very drawn to her, and I ordered her. They're hand-stitch, you know, made to order. So it took like 2 weeks to get in. I was nervous. I was really nervous for her to get here. I was excited. So she gets here, and I had her mailed to Vettel's house, and Vettel had her husband Klaus drop it off to me when I was at Copal. So he came and brought it, and he left, and it was just myself and Patricia sitting here, and I'm talking as usual, and Patricia's like, dude, open your box. And I said a little prayer. I got some Palo Santo. I smudged the box before I opened it.
And I asked my ancestors to be present with me and just to comfort me during this time. And I opened her up, and man, she was fucking beautiful. Is beautiful. And I just kept staring at her because the doll looks like me. She looks like me when I was a little girl. It's really weird. And I remember Patricia just watching me, holding space for me. And she said, go ahead, hug her. I took her out of the box and I just held her to my chest and rocked her and told her that I loved her, that she's safe. She's worthy. She's protected. And I put her on my altar. And I had another moment with her, like a week after. And then I had another moment with her this morning. There used to be this show, United States of Terror, and it was about this woman who had multiple personality disorder. I forget the correct word for it. DID, I think. Forget what it stands for. But it was only on for 3 seasons on, like, Showtime, and I was a huge fan of it. Me and my sister, Denora, watched it all the time, and I started rewatching it. And I just finished the last episode this morning before I left the house. And all of her personalities represented people in her life that were a part of her traumas. And like the big trauma was the one that she had to like figure out and really dig into, and she really had to do a lot of work to figure out what had happened to her as a little girl that created all these triggers for her as an adult. So every time something would trigger her, depending on what that trigger is depending on what personality she would turn into. So I started doing some research on multiple personalities. No, I'm not saying that I have that at all. However, it made sense to me how crazy this woman could go or how far she could take it in her own head just to avoid dealing with her own truth. And in these episodes, she's coming to certain conclusions. One of her traumas was something with a boy taking advantage of her when she was a teenager. They figured out that her trauma started way before that, and that wasn't like the big thing. She confronted the boy and everything. She also has this issue with her mom. Since she's blocked out all these traumas and can't remember all these details, everything's like so vague. She gets like glimpses of her childhood and she just can't connect the dots. And so she goes to her mom. Which she didn't want to do. She was avoiding it the whole time. And she goes to her mom and starts asking her mom for answers. the mom's reactions is what was triggering for me. Because the mom kept claiming that she doesn't remember anything. And the girl, Tara, would, you know, remember, like, a name and be like, "Mom, who's Mimi? Like, was she a babysitter? Like, I have this, like, short memory of, like, me and my sister being in her house. Like, did she take care of us? Was she, like, a nanny?" Like, and the mom's like, "I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't remember who Mimi is." And she's totally full shit. And, like, she doesn't share with the daughter, like, any of the truth. She doesn't. She doesn't want to be honest with her daughter, because if she's honest with her, then she has to do her own reflection work, right? If she's honest with her daughter and tells her daughter, "Yeah, I remember who these people are. Well, this is what actually happened to you. So watch the show." But in the end, it's further in her childhood. She's little, and it's a half-brother that they didn't remember who was around when they were little girls, who touched them inappropriately. And when the little girl shared this, you know, the like old school fashion, they didn't want to believe it. So they kick him out, they do whatever, he disappears, and now this little girl becomes an adult who has all these triggering moments but can't fucking remember what happened to her. That show was so relatable. There's so many things that run through my head from my childhood that are just little film strips that are hard to piece together. And I've had a few moments in my young adulthood where I've confronted my mom with certain things and asked her, and I would get the same thing. I don't remember. I don't know. Story of my life. But I don't believe my mom. I honestly don't believe that she doesn't remember all these things. I just think that if she sits there and does remember these things, she might be held accountable. And that's not an easy thing to go through. Hold yourself accountable for the wrongs you've done. I feel like that was my biggest lesson with my stalker, Johnny, was holding myself accountable for the wrongs that I have done to people that I've been with, in relationships, partners. Facing myself, facing who I was then, so with having this doll and watching the show and I'm watching the show and I'm watching the season finale, and the husband and her kids can't handle her anymore, so they put her in a home for her safety. And I got up and I went and grabbed my doll and I just held her and I started crying. a lot of the questions that I have for my mom and for my papi, I already have the answer to. A part of me just wants them to admit things and... But with my mom, I don't think it's about her just admitting things of the past. It's stuff that's still going on now that I can't. It just bothers me and brings up so much anger. It's just so triggering. And I've done all this work to release and let go my past traumas and my current shit. You know, I may have forgiven my mom for certain things when I was little, but there's more memories coming up, and so there's more forgiveness that I have to do. But it's not just about her not protecting me as a child. It's her still not protecting certain things now. Because she hasn't done the work. She refuses to do the work. So she pretends like she's in this happy little bubble. Or she pretends like she doesn't depend on drinking for her emotional release. I was honest with her a few weeks ago for my birthday and told her that I've learned that I can't take her word. I didn't want to express that to her. I don't want to express a lot of things to my mom, to be honest with you. And during our full moon circle that we had here at Copal y Tierra, I realized in the exercise that we did when Patricio was facilitating that my traumas and my issues, my anger, things that I can't let go of are not towards my papi. They're towards my mom. And I really feel that I've, over the last 6-7 years, I've really sugarcoated our relationship. Because I wondered why, out of all the things that my parents have said or done to hurt me, why it's so much easier for me to forgive my papi than my mom. I realize it's because, no matter how fucked up it sounds, amongst his vulgarness and the nastiness and the going off and his hatred for women that he still hasn't recognized, he's honest. He has so much fucked up shit in his head that he may exaggerate stories or may not get the story right and may attack sometimes and it feels like out of nowhere. He's not a liar. He's unapologetically honest. And that's not who my mom is. So I had to start thinking about my relationship with my mom. How was my relationship with her growing up? It was awful. I talk so much about my papi because he makes it easy. He's crazy Carlos. Everybody knows him. Everything's, you know, hard on his sleeve. My mom's the opposite. Everything's secretive. Everything. the cycle, the generational trauma is just gone on and on and on my mom's side of the family, and it's quite disgusting. When I was 11, my parents had divorced. And that summer, my mom was hanging out a lot in LA with one of her half-brothers and his wife. And every time she would go up to LA and spend time up there, she wouldn't take me. And we were out of school. It was during the summer. And I would stay back with Bappy a lot, and she would just take my sisters. I was definitely ahead of my time in those ages. And I figured out what my mom was doing. So it was the first year that the San Diego Nighttime Zoo opened, and my papi got tickets from his work, and him and I went to the Nighttime Zoo. And we were talking about how much we missed my sisters. But not her. It was always me and him against my mom. But like, team up. But I told him, I was 11, and I told him, Bobby, she's gonna leave you. She's leaving us. She doesn't take me up there every time she goes. It's because I'll figure it out. She's probably seen a lawyer up there. She's probably looking for jobs. Like, she's probably trying to figure out how she's gonna leave. So I felt abandoned by her. Not the first time. I was 11 years old. And my mom's family stopped talking to me because I chose to live with him and live with her. My aunt called me up, went off on me. How dare you disrespect your mother like this? He's manipulating you. He's evil. He's horrible. He does all these things. And if I tried to say anything bad about my mom, it was just shot down. She was the princess of the family. She never did anything wrong. And if she did, it's because she was influenced by other people. It was never about Veronica. It was never on her. So I feel like that just added to resentments that my mom already had against me. My mom resented me as soon as she saw me being close with my puppy. You know, the issues just get worse and continue from there. Putting stepfathers in front of me as a child. Still as an adult, but in other ways. So I've been going through this shit. It's been making me feel sick again. I'm sure my husband already noticed that I haven't been eating again. Because when I go through stuff like this, I need to express and release what I'm feeling inside, and if I don't release it and don't let it out, it's just going to make me physically sick. So after I watched the show, I got ready, made myself some breakfast, showered, and then I text my mom. I asked her if she had some time to talk. So we're supposed to meet up Friday morning. I just invited her to come over and get some coffee and go hang out at Chicano Park and talk. I'm not calling her over here so that I can go off on her and tell her how fucked up she is. I just need to tell her that I'm processing a lot of hurt and anger towards her. I do have one huge question that I want some clarification on. And I want to tell her that I love her. But I'm going to need a lot of space on this one. And then there's my puppy. I've expressed on this episode plenty of times about my puppy having his episodes where he kind of just goes off, starts bringing up things from 20 years ago that he's apparently pissed off about, talks about it like it just happened, goes off the deep end, and then completely forgets what he was saying. So he had one of those recently, but the weird thing about it was that it wasn't directed towards, me. It was directed towards my cousins. The ones that are half Irish. And I think it was the first time that they've ever experienced my dad so directly like that, going off on them. They didn't deserve to be spoken to like that. Especially it came out of such left field, completely. But the thing that sucks about that is that he expressed a lot of things that I do not disagree with. My cousin being a cop and government stance, political stance, fuck the cops. So he expressed all this stuff, but of course he did it in his fashion, which is something that my cousins don't get to see and experience. And they've heard me say things, they've heard my sisters talk about him going off and the things that he says, and you know, go, almost like he's back on meth again. I felt really bad that they experienced that. That must have been really fucking hurtful to hear my dad talk to them like that and to hear him share his opinion, but it's an opinion that he's had my whole entire life. So it's not anything new. And to be honest, it started because his sister, my tía, was trying to pick a fight with me after I had posted some things that were in the response of fuck the police. And she hit me up wanting me to explain myself, and I had sat down with her a year before this and explained myself already once to her, which was, I thought, was very nice of me to do. But all this shit was taken very personal, and she took things directed at her, even though they were directed towards my mom's family, and even though I've told her so many times that her sons are not the only half-white cousins I have, and that when I'm talking about white privilege, I'm not just talking about her sons, I'm talking about all of my family who don't recognize their privileges. This is something you guys have heard me say. It's nothing new. So I was pissed that she was picking a fight with me. And I told her, like, what are you doing right now? We've had these conversations. You know what I post. And I said, in fact, this sounds like what I post is really affecting your mental and emotional health. You should probably stop following me. So she took that to the extreme and she blocked me off of all her social media shit. I didn't have the energy to deal with it. So I didn't give in to the argument that she was trying to create between her and I, and I basically told her in the nicest way possible to fuck off. So she's continued this. She's tried picking fights with both of my sisters. Also found out that the night that my dad did go off, he was drinking hard alcohol, smoking weed. Both of those is what he does all the time. But he was also taking some painkillers that he got from his sister, which clearly tells me that she does not recognize her own addictions, because they are pills, which I've gone through already with my own mother many years ago. And obviously not recognizing that her brother is an addict, or else she wouldn't have given him those pills. So my papi had told her to stop picking on his daughters, and if she didn't stop picking on his daughters, he was going to start retaliating and picking on her sons. Mind you, we're all fucking grown ass adults, so this is beyond ridiculous, but I can't control who my father is or who my tia is and how they respond to things in life. That evening, I got a phone call from my cousin, my tia's oldest son, and I chose not to pick up the phone because I knew he was calling because my papi was going off on text message, and I'm not responsible for what was happening. But I don't think they understood how much their mom was pushing his buttons on purpose and waiting for a reaction. He's living with her, so he's an easy target. You know, I recognize that I can be an easy target in a lot of ways from my past and the way I've reacted and responded to people and situations and things. So I can understand that. I can tell my cousins and their wives are also offended by my dad, and I think I'm getting a shit end of the stick on that, and kind of they're holding me in the same category as him, which is fine. And if they ever do want to sit down and have a conversation about our parents and their issues, I'm more than happy to with any of my cousins. It's created a huge separation in our family,
I'm not going to say it created a huge situation, because there's already been a separation in our family. But I'm not responsible for that either. My door is always open, and I hope this is the last time I have to express that to my friends and family and community. I am in transition. I am, for the first time in my life, connecting with my higher self. I have a beautiful relationship with my God and my universe and my community, and support system that I have created for myself is just beyond a blessing. I am forced to look within every single day, because that is the life that I created. Since that episode that my papi had, there's been a lot that he's been working on. He went and saw a psychotherapist. That we had set him up through Copali Tierra, and now he's doing Reiki sessions with Anissa, the same girl that does the Yoni steams. She's also our Reiki facilitator. I never thought opening this space. I mean, I didn't even last year on my birthday invite my dad to my birthday. He was disinvited because of everything. This year was so different. He came to the market on my birthday that we have here in Barrio Logan, and he got to be a part of that day because he earned it, and he knows that. He's been showing up. He's been not drinking hard liquor. He has switched not smoking weed. He's been smoking CBD. He's been getting really clear-headed. He's been very focused on his self-healing, the energy work. I just never thought in a million years that this space would be holding space for my papi. Takes time when you're going through stuff like this. You know, I always get so upset if I think I made people feel like I treated them like the old Erica. But I've come a long ways, and I do forget how far it's been. I do not forget how much further I have, because I sit in a healing space every single day, and trust me, there's no avoiding those things. That big blocked childhood memory that I have is slowly opening. I know the answers. I just want to get a little bit more clarity. The person that hurt me and abused me is no longer in this physical world, and hasn't been for a really, really long time. But I didn't really discover and learn that he was my abuser until recently.
The healing never stops. I'm really excited for what Soy Chingona has in store for you listeners in the next couple months rolling out here, back with new episodes, new truths to share. I'm going to be opening up about some stuff on the podcast that I haven't really dipped into before, my whole infertility journey that my husband and I went through and what we still go through as non-parents in our families and communities. Other exciting news that I'll be sharing pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to the next episode. I will be sharing, which I've had on my podcast before, Patricia is one of the owners at the Space Copa Litiera, and she's been on the podcast over a year ago, but it was a short episode, and we talked a lot about identity and art, and talked about her identity and her art here in Barrio Logan, and we're going to have her back on the podcast. This is the first time that I'm inviting someone back on the podcast because I want to share her whole story. I want her to share her truth and take you through the journey that she's gone through as a Chicana muralist at Chicano Park and all the amazing projects that she's been a part of and all the things that are to come. And we'll be sharing more about our healing journey as Copa Litiera. I can't wait to have both Patricia and Vero on the podcast so I can finally share how this all started and all the crazy fucking things we've experienced since we've opened all of these portals here in our community, here in this space, and in our own families and for ourselves. So I'm looking forward to sharing all those new things with you guys, and we'll see what else is to store and what else is to come. And just thank you for tuning back in to the podcast and for just listening. I appreciate it. I appreciate the love and support that is out there. I feel it. Thank you so much. And till next time, fist up, chingonas.